This is the Aftermarket Radio Network. Welcome and thanks for tuning into the Aftermarket's premier podcast. Now, one thing I hear from my listeners is you allow the podcast to help you and to help broaden your horizons. Hey, Carm Capriato, the Aftermarket Podcast Guy, with an incredible library of cutting-edge topics and discussions to keep your mental embers lit. Check out the massive number of episodes at the ready for you at remarkableresults.biz. Hey, I'm with Murray Voth in this episode, who's the owner and principal trainer at RPM Training and one of Canada's most knowledgeable experts on the automotive industry. Murray specializes in the field of business development of the independent automotive service and repair sector. In this episode, Murray focuses on the customer experience and he differentiates customer service versus customer experience and their specific advantages and disadvantages. The talking points for this episode can be found at remarkableresults.biz/E591. Hey, due to the current restrictions in place in Las Vegas and international and domestic travel constraints, along with the rising cases of COVID-19, Napa has made the proactive decision to reschedule the Napa Expo. We remain committed to our attendees and exhibitors to provide a valuable and productive in-person experience at the proper time. For now, Napa believes that this is the right move for all involved and will use this time to make new plans to bring you helpful and powerful content. We look forward to hosting you when we can do it safely. Hey, the majority of you listen mobile. And if you're not listening on a mobile device, download a free listening app at remarkableresults.biz/listen. Enjoy the insights wherever you go. And don't forget to watch the Aftermarket's really cool live informative video show. It's like a video forum. You can watch it live on aftermarketweekly.com and binge on all the archived episodes. Big feature, besides my guest host, is a virtual shop tour. Always good things to learn on aftermarketweekly.com, a most unique aftermarket resource. Hey, don't forget, we drop new Remarkable Results radio episodes every Tuesday and Friday, and we are live with Aftermarket Weekly on Tuesdays at noon Eastern, and each and every Thursday, we drop a new Town Hall Academy episode. Hey, a warm welcome to Murray Voth, my friend from RPM Training. How you doing, Murray?
I'm doing well, Carm. Bit early in the morning for me compared to you, but I'm doing awesome.
You clean up nicely, Murray. Wow. Owner and principal trainer at RPM Training. He writes extensively for the industry, and he's a passionate guy for organizational leadership. Good to have you here again.
Yeah, awesome to be here.
We've done a lot of great stuff. I know that you did a great training session at Virtual Apex this year. Your title was Breaking the Mold, Getting Out of the Price-Based Model and Into the Value-Based Model. Lots of words, but I'm sure it was an important session.
Yes, it actually went well. And I got to give a shout out to all the Apex folks because, man, they pulled this off so well, so professional. Just, it was an amazing experience.
I agree with you. I just totally agree with you. Hey, we're here to talk about customer service versus customer experience. Murray is extremely passionate. I think I remember reading an article and I says, hey, great article, but we got to talk about it on the podcast because that's what I do. Let's start. I know there's so many different differentiators that you want to start talking about. And let me just set up mentally for our audience. When we think about the customer experience, a lot of times we think about Southwest Airlines, you know, they have a different boarding process. They have no baggage fees and they have no cost to change of flight. I mean, that really puts them somewhere else, if you will, on the stack of the customer experience. So with that in mind, let's crank it up.
Awesome. One of my favorite stories to tell is about an airline called WestJet in Canada, which was actually modeled after Southwest Airlines. Now, this was a couple of years old now, but Southwest Airlines, I believe, was the only American airline that was profitable from its inception until, let's say, 2017 or 18. WestJet is the only Canadian airline that has been profitable since its inception, all the way until, you know, modern times and pandemics and that kind of challenge, right? Now, you mentioned a couple of things that involve no paying for baggage or some boarding process and stuff like that. You know, Southwest touting themselves as a bit more of a low-cost airline. WestJet was that initially. But that gets that conversation back to price again. And I want to get away from that price conversation, because, you know, when I got on WestJet, when I was doing a lot of traveling, I felt like I was coming home. I was genuinely greeted by the staff, either at the check-in counter or by the flight attendants, or if the pilot was at the door when you were entering. They genuinely wanted to look after your comfort and your safety, as they always remind us, right? You know, those airlines are examples of great client experience. And part of it was is just being genuine, like be yourself. You know, Carm, you and I have got to know each other a little bit over the years. And I think you know that about me, that you can tell how I'm feeling about my face. Like, I can't play poker, right? I cannot do a poker face, right? When I had my service station, the one that I had the longest, I lost two clients over a period of time that talked to me. And they said, you know, Murray, you know, your pricing just seems to be a bit too much for us. This was in the repair base, nothing to do with the fuel. But we love your PR. And I'm like, what do you mean you're my PR? And I said, that's me. That's Murray being that way. They thought it was a thing I was putting on, an act, that I was doing this friendly act for them when they dropped off their car, when we served them, when we helped them. And I was just absolutely confused that there's people out there that fake this, right? And I'm thinking to myself, how do you fake genuineness with yourself, right? But Carm, this conversation actually took a bit of a tangent that I wasn't expecting.
You just nailed something so interesting, you know, your PR, because this is how Murray is. So out of all of your customers, they maybe thought you were a little phony. And based on the price you're charging and the phoniness that you are, I can't quite accept that. And it was okay probably not to have them as customers.
And as I got longer in the tooth in business, you began to recognize the symptoms of somebody leaving, and you didn't take it personally, and you just moved on. And there was lots of other wonderful people who stepped in and took their place, right? But one of the things that I've really been noticing in our industry that has been highlighted by this digital process, you know, digital inspections, I don't want to talk about those as a separate topic, but I want to say that they have identified something that the consumer has been missing ever since cars were invented. So get a load of this scenario. Somebody asked me a question one day, and I wish I could remember this person to give them credit for triggering this thought. But they said to me, Murray, when a customer comes to your shop, do you assume that they know how things work at an automotive repair shop? And I'm kind of like, in 30 years, I never thought of that. I kind of assumed that when they came to my shop, that they had been at another shop in their career as a client or a customer, and they kind of knew how it worked. And so I thought about that, and I thought, I wonder what it feels like to be a customer at a shop. So you pull up to this place for the first time. You don't know anybody there, but you've heard good things, so you're going to take a chance. You talk to somebody, drop off your car. You authorize them to go ahead with some services that you don't actually understand, but you're going to trust them. Your car goes into this deep, dark cave for the whole day. It comes out. And you pay for a bill for things you don't understand, and it rides exactly like it did when you dropped it off. Is that what the consumers are, you know, experiencing? And then I thought to myself, how many years did I service advise where I'm on the phone and I said, hey, Carm, the CV boot on one of your axles is cracked and some of the grease is coming out and sand and water are getting in. So Carm says to Murray, well, what's a CV boot? I says, well, it's this accordion kind of rubber-like thing that goes over this joint that's kind of like your elbow that's near the front wheel. And Carm says, you know what, Murray, just go ahead. I trust you. It's about this blind trust that we had with about 30 to 50% of our database, and everybody else was suspicious because, well, if it didn't solve a problem that I didn't have, you know, I don't know if I'm going to go back there. I probably got charged for something that I didn't need.
Well, you talked about what it was, not why it worked. And again, I'm into this why thing. You know, here's why you need to fix it. And to a point, I guess we sometimes over-explain technically what certain things are, assuming that the person at the other end is going to be a geek like you are and appreciate that.
to all the male technician types out there, how many of your wives roll their eyes at you when you start mansplaining something, right?
Mansplaining, that is good. Okay. Before I lose track of this, I wrote something down, Marie, and I know you've got an agenda here, but you said someone's here getting all this service. You know, I wrote down, they don't know what to ask, which is why sometimes they ask for price. And number two, do you ever coach your clients to send their texts and send the service advisors to other shops to get service and then bring them back and then sit down in a team meeting and say, so how'd you feel about that?
I haven't suggested that specifically, which is a brilliant idea. The one thing I have suggested is that they all mystery shop a fast lube location, you know, to actually go to another shop. I guess, you know, whatever, you could go undercover and go do that. That wouldn't be a problem doing that. But those fast lube places that we're also terrified about how low their prices are and how they're stealing our customers is actually a completely different experience than what you might be thinking. But I think that would be a great idea, Carm. On another note, though, that you triggered the thought with that is when you talk about client, I actually use the word customer service and client experience. And that wasn't in our conversation earlier, but in my own direct training with my group members, I talk about client experience. I'm going to give you one example of it, and then I'm going to switch to this mystery shopping thing because of another context. So a really good client of mine built this wonderful shop just in 18 months. He's at over $1 million in sales. This kid is brilliant at social media. He's brilliant at leading a team. But he's really, really good at the client experience. And he got these brand new courtesy vehicles. He had them wrapped. They're gorgeous. They're hybrids, right? He's all green. You know, Lent went out to a client one day when they left their vehicle with them. Client came back to swap out and pay their bill. And Chris overheard his service advisor talking to this client. And the client said, you know, I love that courtesy car. That was very kind of you guys. But, you know, not having my own set of keys and not knowing the license plate number, I walked 300 yards to the end of an underground parking to type in, you know, where I was parked, only to find out that I needed the license plate of the vehicle to park. I don't know if you guys have those in the States. Walked all the way back to the car, got the license plate number down, walked over, typed it in, and left the vehicle there for whatever period of time they had to. And Chris is like, well, that's really, really a bad experience. So he made these gorgeous key tags. Right, little nice metal engraved key tags. He's got his brand on the one side. On the other side is the make, model, and the license plate number of the vehicle. And the advisor explains, if you're ever in a parking lot where you need the license plate number, the plate number is on your key tag. Carm, that's what I'm talking about. You know, at the end of the day, I think 60% of the driving public doesn't know about their car, actually doesn't care to know about their car. And it's not even a matter of trust. They're assuming that you're going to be trustworthy and you do good work. I was on a forum on Facebook, one of these automotive type forums, and a young fella, new shop owner, opened a couple of years, struggling, said in a post, I thought if I was honest and I did good work, that I would build a successful business. And I tried to be gentle, I tried to be calm, but I said, dude, man, what side of the bed did you wake up on? There isn't a person in the world who wakes up in the morning thinking that they're going to go to a shop that does substandard work. Hey, I'm going to go to a mediocre shop today. That will be awesome. Or wake up in the morning and say, I'm going to go to a shop that I don't trust. Honesty and quality are the baseline. It's actually just what gets you in the game, right?
You expect all of that when you put your money down. Yeah.
When you put the money down, right? So there's no extra. So then back to the mystery shop. What I find in this industry is most of us are from a blue collar, I'm going to call that. It's a common term in Canada. I'm not sure if it is in the States. You know, we're technicians, we're plumbers, we're electricians, we're the salt of the earth. Generally, we're frugal. You know, we don't have expensive tastes and things like that. So what ends up happening is our expectation of an experience, of a service experience, are very different than many of the rest of the public that we would like to serve or think we should serve. You know, how many times have you been to a restaurant, Carm, where the waiter or waitress took the napkin and laid it on your lap for you?
Well, when you pay $50 for a steak, yes.
Exactly. But how many technician owners or technicians have actually had a $50 steak? I don't do that often. I've had a few in my life, you know, special occasions and stuff like that. It was my wife's birthday on the weekend and we went to a lovely little place. The chef came and talked to us at the table and they explained where the wine was from and talked about where the scallops came from or whatever, but it was her birthday, right? But But think about that. If you've never experienced that kind of care, that kind of quality of food, that knowledge of where the food came from, and the pairing of the wine, you don't understand it. You don't know how to give that kind of service. So I ask my clients, how many customers, clients bring their cars to you that play in a symphony orchestra, that are rocket scientists, that are physicists, university professors, doctors, lawyers, accountants, and the rest? How many of those do you have? Or are most of your customers plumbers and electricians who know how to fix their own cars, but are stuck, you know, they're busy working, so they're stuck, they bring their car for you and bring their own part because they know, they usually know how to do this themselves in their own backyard? Like, do you see the contrast?
Hey, Carm here, and coming up, Murray Voth wants you to see if your advisor is rushing the sale. Hi, Carm here, and I want to talk to you about the Napa Auto Care Center program for health insurance. We've all heard the reports about the rising cost of health insurance, but you'll be happy to know I'm here with really good news. The Napa Insurance Center is now offering the Napa National Health Program, and it's saving Napa Auto Care Centers and their employees money, lots of money. In fact, in the first 90 days following the launch of the program, Napa stores and auto care centers and their employees saved over $2.7 million. That's all thanks to the Napa Insurance Center's partnership with United Healthcare. It gives auto care centers access to the national large group rates on medical insurance with premiums discounted up to 30%. Now, these rates are based on the collective purchasing potential of 22,500 Napa locations, including both Napa Auto Parts stores and Napa Auto Care Centers. And listen to this. The news just keeps getting better. You can choose from four excellent United Healthcare medical plans with varying levels of coverage and deductibles to meet a range of needs. All plans are PPOs, preferred provider organizations, with comprehensive coverage. Because of the Napa Insurance Center's partnership with Aflac, you can have access to supplemental insurance benefits, including disability, accident, hospital, and more, all at a Napa-only discount, up to 35%. The Napa Benefits Center can help you with other group benefits, too, including group life insurance, retirement, HSAs, and more. Napa's National Health Benefit Program is just one of the many reasons to become part of the Napa Auto Care family, the largest network of independent automotive repair shops in the country. Talk to your servicing Napa store. For more detailed information about the Napa National Health Program, visit the Napa Benefits Center at www.napabenefitscenter.com or call the Napa Benefits Center at 844-627-2123. They're salt of the earth people. Probably 80% of our customer base is like that. I love your analogy on the napkin on the lap. And so let me take you to the experience, because I've been there, done that. Okay. Here's the napkin. It's on my lap. And I go, oh boy, this is going to be fun. Right out of the chute, the napkin on the lap tells me I'm going to pay for something, but it's going to be extra special. And I'm going to have an experience that I rarely have. And I think your point is, the earlier in the transaction that you can do something that shows extreme experience, extreme value. Again, I go back to building trust, but I think it takes down a veil of I'm always worried about what's going to happen next when you're the one who initiates the value proposition. You know, people say, well, we wash cars, you know, we put in the cold water, you know, at the end of the transaction in the center console. We have toy gifts for children, cell charging stations, and all of this, and I know, is dependent on when we get back open again. I get all that. You know, the beverage center. Is this, in your mind, all exceptional customer experience?
I think it is good, close to exceptional. And I'm really appreciative of the industry going in that direction. I agree with all that stuff, Carmen. I think we should do it. But I want to go back to putting ourselves in the shoes of our clients and try to remember what it feels like to go somewhere where it would be awkward. So for us as a shop owner, for myself, I had the misfortune of needing to change accountants. Anyways, without going to the details, I'm shopping for an accountant. I had a bad experience. I'm gun shy. You know, who do I go to? So, of course, I talk to my network, right? I get a couple of choices. I then say, well, I'm going to interview these people. Because in the past, you know, I see these accountants as gods, right? They protect us from the IRS and from the CRA. And you know, realizing that, bless their souls, many of them, you know, can keep you compliant, but they don't know how to help you manage your business, right? Anyway, so I did this interview process, but the one guy flipped it on me. He said, you know, you seem to be asking some questions of some things that seem to be stressing you out. He said, let me ask you some questions. So he asked questions about my business. He asked me about some past experiences. He asked me about, you know, what my wife's and my plans were. And I'm like, oh, I'm home. He asked me questions that I knew the answer to about my business and about my accounting circumstances. So I think what happens is people come to shops with their guard up. I used to use the analogy years ago, you know, they enter the service area with their both six shooters loaded, right? Like they hear one wrong word and you're going to get shot because, you know, you mentioned something that was too expensive or something that way. The client experience, let me really simplify this, Karn. In fact, let me oversimplify it and then bring it back a notch. One of my clients was so frustrated with his team. He was so frustrated. He said, Murray, he says, it's not that hard. The phone rings, you make an appointment, the person drops their car, you fix it, they pick it up, they pay their bill, and they leave. He said, how hard is that? Now, he was talking management, leadership. His people weren't, you know, his people were pushing back. They were overcomplicating it, overthinking it, or whatever the case may be. But think about that. What triggered that person to make a phone call? They somehow chose you. So we should be answering that phone in a way that is authentic, genuine, truly want to say hi to that person. A lot of us are recommending online, the ability to book online. I'm going to put this out there because this probably isn't going to be published today, but I'm actually mystery shopping all of my clients. I'm going to all of their websites to book an appointment, to test them, to see how responsive they are because they need to respond, right? And then you think to yourself, when you drop off the car, how were you greeted? This idea of customer service is a smile and a handshake. I think the client experience is, were you genuine? Did you say hi? Did the person feel like they're home? Did they feel like they were cared for? Like, this is just basic human stuff. But then this is where the complexity comes in, is asking questions they know the answer to. Oh, what brings you here today, Carm? Well, you know, I heard you guys do good work and I got this weird clunking sound from the run of my vehicle. Carm, have you ever heard a sound like this before from your car, or is this the first time? Oh man, this is the first time. So pretty stressful, right? Yeah, you know, I'm totally stressed. I don't want to drive this thing. Well, you know what, Carm? The first thing that we need to do is do a visual inspection of your vehicle to see what is actually going on, Carm. We've got great techs here, lots of experience. Listen, Carm, we need to get your authorization to do a very basic visual. We're going to look at the undercarriage, the steering, the suspension. That runs $45 for us to do that. Would you be okay with us to do that? That's all we're going to do, Carm. We're not going to do anything else until we look at that and let you know. That's oversimplifying in some ways, but the genuine, slow the conversation down. Here's the other piece. Is the advisor rushing? Do you have enough advisors? Right? I have this other phrase, get them in, get them out, get them in, get them out, get them in, get them out. You know what it feels like to get them in, get them out as a customer? Like, it's called being processed.
I want to stop for a minute and just tell the audience that Murray is talking about when life gets back to normal and we don't have this touchless thing, because that is going to go away someday and we've got to get back to that. I wrote down my big takeaway from this last 5 minutes was a place where people feel comfortable. And, you know, when you walk in and it is, you're not having to earn your stripes each and every time, they says, hey, how you doing, man? How's it going, Carm? How's Ann? How, you know, and they start going, that immediately takes the fact that I'm there because I have a problem away.
But you know, Carm, you talk about this touchless experience. A whole bunch of the driving public have been dying for this. They've wanted this. Yes, they want a friendly, authentic person on the phone, but they actually want all the friction taken away. And this is a term I learned from somebody in the last couple of months, this idea of we as businesses create friction or reduce friction for our clientele, right? So think about this. Carm, I work out of my home. Before, when I traveled, I worked out of my home some of the time, and then I was on the road. But regardless of whether I was home or not, two vehicles sitting in our driveway, or one in the garage and one in the driveway. And it's always a hassle to remember to look after them. It's a hassle to drive them. We're a half an hour away from the nearest shop to drive down, then coordinate a ride between my wife and I. or somebody else, and then to coordinate a ride to go pick it up again. And then, you know, I'm busy in Zoom. And you know, even prior to the pandemic, I was either in a live class, on an airplane, or in Zoom. I didn't have a lot of windows for shops to talk to me, right? So here's the picture, Karn. My appointments are pre-booked for service by my, this is my dream, okay? Pre-booked. What we talked about at the last visit is now booked for June, all right? It's going to need the oil filter, wipers, cabin air, and your serpentine belt is going to be changed then. I know, I already know what the price is going to be. They confirm that appointment a day ahead, a week ahead, whatever is the best for each person. And here's the thing. They come here and they pick it up. They take it back, do the inspection, send it to me. I say, yes, go ahead. They fix it all up. And then they drop it off and I pay on my phone. I wave out my window while I'm in Zoom and I say, see you later. Do you know how many people want that? And actually will pay just a little more? They won't pay a separate fee for that. Like if you actually tagged on $25 onto my bill, okay, I'll bite. 50? I don't know. But I don't know how much wiper blades for my truck cost. That's been a long time.
Such a great point about removing the friction and keeping this whole touchless experience. And you don't want to go there. You don't want to worry about anything. You just want the dental appointment. You're coming in 6 months. Here's the date. Get out your smartphone. Perfect. We'll see you then. And, you know, and if they're smart, they remind you like 2 months ahead, a week ahead, the day before. Smart stuff. I mean, I never miss a doctor's a dental appointment ever. Because they know what they're doing, and I'm comfortable. And to me, that's my value. My experience with the dentist is that they, as much as it's not fun, they make it work.
You know, there was a small period of time in my life before we moved to a more remote area. We used to be in the big city of Vancouver. And there was a time where the shop I was going to, he's a client, current client. It's kind of interesting. I teach people how to charge me more. But anyways, kind of ironic. But great guy. But everything in my life, almost everything in my life was pre-booked. The car was, the dog groomer was, my dentist was. Because, see, I'd show up at home Thursday night, Friday morning, jet-lagged as all get-out. I couldn't remember whether I was heads or tails. So Friday was my day for all my errands, right? And I tell you, when these service providers, when my phone binged in the morning, reminded me, it's like it was peace of mind. It was like, because I'm embarrassed to forget an appointment, right? I don't want to be that guy that misses my appointment. So there's a lot of really super busy people out there, right? Legitimately so. What is this person expecting? Number one, what do they need and what do they want? I'm expecting a low price. You know, I need a ride back to work. I want the diagnostics for free. Well, wrong client. You know what? I'm busy. I have this expensive vehicle out there. I need somebody to look after for me. I'm really tied up. You know, so I need alternative transportation, maybe a courtesy vehicle or a ride or a picked up. And, you know, honestly, what I want is I want this to be easy and simple. And at the end of the day, I don't actually know how to compare your price to other prices. And believe it or not, I don't have time to compare to pricing. And so unless something seems like way out of whack, I'm probably not going to worry about the price of something.
One of the things that we talked about here, I mentioned, you know, Wi-Fi, beverage center, a cold bottle of water. Those are value adds, if you will, that, if you will, puts a bow on the experience. And there's a lot more to talk about. But you just did a great job of outlining the touchless experience. Please take it over for me. Would you say that there are two then ways of thinking about it? The person who you come in, you see face to face, has a completely different way we go about that experience than the individual that we do business with, if you will, touchless. And we should be thinking that our experience value package actually is a little different, even though the core principles of our company, what we stand for, what we'll, the kind of work that we'll do, but the way we interact with the customers and build that experience for them. You want touchless. If the reminders are there, you're anticipating all the work that needs to be done because you want to go say, talk to the hand because the face ain't listening, right? Just get it done, right?
We could simplify it into two models or three models that we're running simultaneously, right? An interesting thing that I researched is, you know, when the pandemic first hit, you know, the very first thing was, are we an essential service? Yes, we are. Then it was, what does that look like? What does that mean? And then we looked at the touchless service. And, it, you know, and a lot of my clients said, customers were saying, oh, I've always wanted this, right? I love it. And then I surveyed my clients in May. So March, April, May. So 3 months later. And I said, so how's it going? And like, as the different municipalities, cities, provinces, states opened up, I said, how's that going with that touchless experience? And they said, you know what? We still have half to almost three quarters of people wanting to drop their car off. And I'm surmising this based on a few conversations with a few people. This is just an anecdotal, not a lot of research backing it up. But I think because we were an essential service, I think we were one of the few places that you could legally go to and talk to somebody, right? You could go to a grocery store, you could go to an auto shop, but other than that, you really couldn't do a lot. So people were looking for socializing. They were looking to get out of the house. They were looking for a place for human connection. So I think what ended up happening was there's a boomerang effect where because we were legally open as essential services, I think a bunch of them bounced back and wanted that experience. I think as things settled down and people begin to have their social experiences where they normally would have them, right? Family, friends, neighbors, going out to eat and that kind of stuff. And they would need it less from us. I'm thinking that we're going to boomerang back to some kind of a place where it's going to be about a 50-50.
I love your point. It's time to start sitting down with our people and say, hey, the Smiths, do they want to have a touchless or, you know, an in-house experience? And start rating the customers and then start bringing the strategies of how you're going to do business with your clients. COVID may have provided us an opportunity that if we let it go and we expect we're going to go back to in-house, you know, face-to-face forever, we're going to be losing an opportunity that someone's going to capitalize on. Not ranking, qualifying is actually the word I should have used.
And you know what? That's actually something that I've developed in some of my classes recently. You know, back in the day, one of my original coaches and trainers taught us to qualify the customer from, do they fit in our business? If they're price oriented, if they're difficult, you know, you end up qualifying them and you end up firing customers, right? That was kind of an approach that somebody taught me. And I thought, you know, occasionally you still have to do that. But I've changed it, and with the help of another shop owner, he realized this with his team, qualifying the client's expectations of the service experience, but also of their car. So let's go back to the qualifying the experience. The Smiths really love the touchless. They've told us that, and we're going to emphasize that process. Notes are going to be made on their card in the system to do that. You know, the Johnsons, you know, they love bringing their dog by for the treats. They love that interaction. They're just such a friendly couple. They're leaning towards that type of experience, which then means that service advisors will then think of scheduling differently, right? The touchless experience is actually easier for a service advisor because as long as there's somebody to help them pick up, deliver, or whatever that touchless looks like, it could be a shuttle ride, could be a courtesy vehicle. When it's touchless, the car stays longer, and generally your sold hours per hour will go up. Average work order size goes up because the customer says, you know what, you've got my car for the day, you know, go ahead. A lot of times when the ROs were smaller, it was not because people didn't want to spend the money or didn't have the money. It was they didn't want to leave the car that long. So we ended up just piecemealing small repairs as we went along. So that's the one experience. And then with the Johnsons and their golden retrievers, well, you know what? The appointment is not with the technician. I always want to remind everybody about that. The appointment is with the service advisor for the consultation. The technicians are going to get to that car when they get to it, when we assign it to them, right? So I'm going to allow 15 minutes for the Johnsons to drop off their car because I know we're going to go talk to the dogs, right? And the rest of the team knows that if Carm's an advisor that's going to be talking to the Johnsons, they're not going to load Carm up with a bunch of other junk to do at that moment because he's basically focusing. He's being able to be his genuine self because he's not being dumped on behind his back by somebody else, right? Qualifying people's expectations of their vehicle. You know, a lot of service advisors instinctively, when an estimate gets really large, ask the following question. Hey, Carm, our technicians have identified quite a bit of things to be done on your vehicle. Just wondering, before we went into that, what are your plans for this car? Or what do you know, do you like your car? Right? I did that in the past, but it was only like what, once a month, twice a month, we would ask that question. You know, the estimate gets to $3,000 or $4,000. We as advisors begin to go, oh, what do these people think about this car before I present all of this, right? Well, why not ask that question all the time and document it? Oh, I love this car. My grandfather gave it to me. I'm going to drive it forever. This piece of crap, as soon as I can get out of this thing, the sooner the better. You know what? It's just a government. I'm a government employee. It's just a lease, just the minimum. You know what? I'm going to buy this lease out after. My company lets me buy the lease out after, so I'm going to look after it well now so that I buy out the lease of a good car. I just walked you through four different scenarios of expectations of the vehicle, and there's probably 100.
I am so into this. This is great. We almost like need to do a part two. Okay. We should, well, you know what we should do? We should take everything we talked about, kind of put it into a Murray Voth outline, and then just come back and then do more of the house stuff behind it.
Yeah, that would be awesome. Most people want to be genuine. They want to be helpful, but the structure or the overbooking or the boss doesn't allow them to be. We need to talk about how to get there. Yeah.
I love it. The love factor, the car, so many great things. Murray, any final words as we wrap up this episode?
No, Carm, I think that I'm going to give you the last word, vehicle love factor.
That's vehicle awesome. Love factor. And you know what? I think that's so powerful. I have told people, you see that car that you're working on? It's got 60,000 miles on it. It's my last car, I tell people. I tell them it's my last car. I love this car. That car is designed to go 250 based on how many I'm driving. I'm going to have this until I'm in the ground. And I guess that was my cue to them. Please take care of my car. Do what it has to have done, right? Do whatever you can to make this thing go to 200. So my love factor would be 10 on the scale of 1 to 10. When you and I get together, we almost lose total track of time. And
I can't believe it. I know.
I so appreciate you being here. Murray Voth, owner and principal trainer, RPM Training. We'll be back.
All right, Carmen.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.